Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Another great edition of Real Money with David Holland lined up for you. And the reason it's going to be so good is I've got yet again a special guest appearance by Dennis Miller. And Dennis has been on the program before. He is an author, speaker, consultant, and not the least of which, a retired mentor at MarketWatch, a regular contributor to MarketWatch. He's the only one that's actually been retired. But you wouldn't know that Dennis had been retired because Dennis wrote the book from his own personal life experience of being retired about the time of the 2008 meltdown. He had to pull himself up by his bootstraps, as you would say, and reboot his retirement. He wrote the book, Retirement Reboot. He's also got a website, millersmoney.com. And for the listeners of this program, he also is offering a free book that you can take a look at millersmoney.com/free book. So let me welcome back Dennis Miller. Dennis, thanks for being on the program.
Well, I appreciate you having me, David.
Well, when you're good, you're good. And we had to have you back. And I love your insights from your perspective, having moved into the retirement time of your life. You're busy. You're making guest appearances on radio shows and doing the MarketWatch contribution. And really helping other people who are facing a lot of the same challenges that you faced figure this whole thing out about retirement. And one of the subjects I was really hoping to get your opinion on, and I know that you and I could spend just days talking, but I recently wrote a column for the local paper about when your advisor retires or changes jobs, what that means for you, the investor, who's hired that person to help them with your money. And what that means for you and what your options are or what you should do and maybe what you shouldn't do. So I wrote this article and I basically took the perspective, Dennis, that, okay, a couple of things. One, the advisor retires, which is, of course, where every advisor eventually wants to be. That's one scenario. Another scenario is the advisor changes jobs. And then the third is, unfortunately, due to death or disability, some advisors, their careers are cut short. So there's three or four scenarios, depending on how you look at it, where the person who has hired the advisor is then in a position to, no pun intended, reboot their advisor relationship. So I wanted to get some of your perspective on that, because I think a lot of times the investor kind of goes with the flow. I mean, they've got an advisor who works for a brokerage house, and that advisor leaves to go to work for another one. And they say, you know, they're not sure what to do, and they either stay, do they go? So help my listeners understand this context a little bit better, and I'll share a little bit more of the column as we go along.
Yeah, I think you're onto something, David, because I actually experienced two of the three myself at a time in my life when I was still somewhat vulnerable and still had a lot more to learn. In that, what happens is, for most people, they start out with an advisor, and more often than not, it's when you start to begin to accumulate capital. It would probably be somebody like a stockbroker that's been referred to you by a friend, or however you end up doing business with a stockbroker. And then you build up a trust relationship, and hopefully you feel that that trust relationship grows. They know your family, they know your situation, this sort of thing. So you start to rely on that person. And as I wrote about in my book, I kind of got thrown to the wolves when my father-in-law died. I'd been married with my wife, Jo, about 6 months, and all of a sudden I'm sitting in an office, and my wife's mother, who I dearly love, we call her Grandma, signing over power of attorney to me to look after her life savings. And the stockbroker at the time was a lady. She is my age, and I'm now 74. And she dealt with particularly senior citizens, as you would have in Florida and that sort of thing. And I really did feel like we could truly trust her. She had our interests at heart. And we worked together. She was a mentor to me. She was an educator to me. And then I got a call that said, I want you to know that I am leaving and I am going to another firm. And I said, okay, obviously you're wanting me to transfer my account. I said, how do these things work? And she was very honest with me. She said, well, they recruited me and they offered me a $100,000 bonus. Whoa. And I said, I suggest you take it.
That's good advice.
Yeah, that was a no-brainer for me. But the point being, she was honest. And so we also talked about it because the brokerage firm that she was joining is one of those big firms that still exists today. And, you know, they had their own family and mutual funds and their own products and this and that. And she told me some very interesting things. She said, in order for me to join them, I made them sign a statement that said, I can be truly independent. I can do what's right for my clients. Now, David, you can see why we loved her, okay?
Mm-hmm, sure.
And that I don't have to sell your company products unless I think it's a proper fit for my client. And so they agreed to that, and she had it in writing. And so, of course, the minute she left, I got a call from her old firm, and I said, no, I'm transferring my account over there. And we worked with her up until the day she retired. But I want to tell you, your listeners, a story, because this is something I think people don't understand. And it's going to get going to link back to what you said earlier.
Sure.
And that is, even though she had this signed agreement, all of a sudden she started getting pressure to start to sell her company's mutual funds. And some of them were very, very high fees. I mean, they had an S&P 500 fund where they were charging high fees for what? I mean, it's a computer-generated fund.
Yeah.
And then they actually brought her into the home office because she said, I can't sell these products. I don't believe in them. And they said, well, then obviously you need to be educated.
You need to be re-educated.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I don't know how they do that, but so she goes off.
I think there's water they put your head down in first.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, put your feet up and, you know, yes, we won't go there. I was mentioned Dick Cheney. I think we'll leave that alone. In any event, so what happens is she goes off for a week, and basically she was an entire week being harassed because she wasn't a team player.
Hmm.
And she said, I've been with my clients now, many of them for 20, 25 years. I'm going to sell the right product for them. And she held her ground. And the next thing she told me was they had a deal where they come through, get incoming calls, and they get routed to each. They took her name off the list. She wasn't getting any new good leads. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I knew all this. She probably shouldn't have shared it with me, but it was a tremendous education for me because the day came when she was going to retire, and I knew this in advance, as most of her clients did. And, you know, they wanted me to go to one of the younger brokers. And this was in the 90s when everybody was a stockbroker and everybody thought they were smart. And it was kind of funny because the broker that the firm wanted to go with, the story behind him was the day he quit was when the tow truck showed up and towed his BMW out of the parking lot at the brokerage firm. Okay. So it was at that point I had to totally reorient my thinking. And I realized there were two elements. The first element was I needed financial advice, and the second element was I needed a transactional broker. So I split that into two, and I actually went with an online broker that gave me some very good service.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, I was more comfortable making those investment decisions. And then at the same time, you can pay for that professional advice. And I think that when that day comes, it is going to give that person an opportunity to really reboot and rethink the entire situation. And I'll give you some ideas as we get into it, some of the things I think they ought to consider.
Excellent. And what you're talking about there, Dennis, is you're getting to is a fiduciary relationship, and we'll talk about that. And some of the other questions you need to be asking if you are in a position to need to make a change. So let's grab a quick break. We've got Dennis Miller on the line. Heck, he's in the studio. Lucky us. And the book is Retirement Reboot. The website is millermoneys.com/free book. Take a look at that as well. Quick break. We'll be right back.
When it comes to finding an advisor you can trust, are you unsure of the questions to ask? David Holland has written a book that can help, and it's called How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Scams. David has crammed his experience and insider knowledge about advisors and how they operate into this popular book. Visit Amazon.com to order your copy today. Or if you'd like to meet one-on-one with David to discuss your financial goals and concerns, he'll give you a free copy of his book when you meet. There's no cost or obligation. The number to call for your appointment with David is 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Dennis Miller's in the studio with me, author of Retirement Reboot, millersmoney.com/free book. He's also got a free weekly newsletter you want to check out. Now, I want to circle back around, Dennis, and just talk for a minute. One of the things I talked about in my recent column, when your advisor retires or changes job in the local paper, is then, as you talked about, there is this well-known thing within the financial industry that advisors do, brokers especially, change the brokerage firm they're with, and they may be headhunted, given a nice bonus, very substantial bonus, to jump ship to join the advisor at a new company. Now, some of the questions that I think an investor needs to look at when that, first of all, and you talked about this with your own personal experience, you're not obligated to stay or go. You know, if this happens to someone, they really should step back and say, well, let me rethink this, or let me reboot my advisor relationship. Am I looking for a fiduciary? Am I looking for a transactional broker? What am I looking for? And is that where the advisor is going? What's the benefit to me of their going there? What will be the benefit of it? Because they're asking you to sign a form so that the account can transfer from the old brokerage firm to the new brokerage firm. Now, once they're there, what are going to be the benefits? Is your advisor going to have pressure applied to him, as you described, Dennis, to sell or recommend certain funds or certain products? Or what's the benefit to the client? That's really the big question. Or if you stayed with the current brokerage firm, you didn't really want to go with the broker, maybe you didn't have that great of a relationship, maybe you hadn't talked to him in a while, or him or her, what are your options if you stay with that broker, that brokerage firm? Who will be assigned to your account? Do you have a choice? And now, I know it's a rhetorical question, but I'll answer it. Yes, you have a choice. You don't have to work with whoever they assign to you. You can interview this person. If you don't like it, you either say, you have somebody else, or maybe it's time to shop around and see if there's other firms in your area that maybe matches up more closely. Now, one of the things I know that you mentioned, Dennis, to me, was that with your newsletter, a lot of your subscribers have actually asked you about how to check on the history of brokers. And I know that there are websites, for example, finra.org, F-I-N-R-A.org, and you can go there. There's no charge to do this. And you can go on the website and there's a box you check that says broker check. And you can look up the brokerage firm or the broker by name and look at their history, especially if you are either choosing for the first time to go with somebody, or maybe you're being put in a position with this job change. And there's a lot of other questions that people can ask, but that's a big one.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think, David, it actually starts with an element of trust. Why did we go to the new brokerage firm? Because the lady had earned our trust. If she hadn't earned our trust, then it would have been a whole different ballgame. And what, you know, you can sit there and you can talk about the difference between, you know, the fiduciary relationship, which is a much higher standard. You know, certified financial planners, this sort of thing, have to live that standard. They have to put their client ahead of themselves, and they have to be doing what's right for the client. Where the stockbrokers, the typical brokers, is held to a much lower standard called suitability. The fact is that you can take an 80-year-old widow, and if they put that widow into a junior gold mining fund or something, that's not suitable for somebody of that stature. But if they put them into a utility mutual fund, that's considered suitable. Well, maybe that utility mutual fund charges three times the fees of something else, where that is okay. They don't have to live to the level of standard of the fiduciary responsibility. So if they're starting to churn stocks, or they're doing those kinds of things, then you have a conflict of interest there. And I think that's the first thing that you have to deal with. Mm-hmm. And it's not just the certification, because this lady earned our trust regardless of what that level of legal responsibility was. And that's the relationship you want, where you end up regardless of where you go. And you have to be finding ways, checking their background, sitting down and asking them how they're being paid. You know, I think the typical come on in, let us do a free financial analysis. You know, subscribers have to understand the way that works. You can go to every major brokerage firm, whatever, and they'll have you fill out the forms. They'll get all this information. They'll feed it in their company computer. And the solution to all your problems is 15 of their different mutual funds. Well, that's the way it's designed to get your money into those funds where they're going to just get the fund fees. And that's not who you want managing your money. So it is a, it does give you an opportunity to maybe have started with a stockbroker, but now I've got enough net worth where maybe I want to go to a different type of financial planner or get some help or find somebody with that relationship. And it's an opportunity to not have to fire your broker, but to sit down and say, I'm at a different stage in life now. What kind of help do I need and how do I go about getting it?
Excellent. Well, and that's really one of the key things for the listeners to recognize is this is, again, I know I say this often on this program, Dennis, it's very individualized. The decisions that need to be made, what might be right for your neighbor, your friend, your brother, may not be right for you. And there are these situations where an advisor may be changing jobs, and you need to know, ladies and gentlemen, that you have the right, it's your money, and you have the right to decide who, where, when, what you do business with. And the next one, which I'd love to get your perspective on this, Dennis, we'll start out here by, I'll share it with you. And that is that advisors don't just change jobs, they also look forward to their own retirement.
Yeah.
And I look forward to that. But it's for me, now, for me, that says 20, 25 years out, because I'm still on the front end of this and I love what I do and I can't imagine retiring, but it will come someday. Now, that while that may be a ways away for me, I know for a fact that in my own local market, and of course this will be true around the country, but in my own local market, there are several advisors who have just retired or who are in the process. So here too, the investor needs to know that they need to look at their own best options. Are they with a firm? Is somebody else in the firm going to take over? If it's an independent advisor, where it's not associated with one of the big brokerage houses, they're independent. Is there somebody there in their office that's going to take over? What are their qualifications? This goes back to your comment about it being an interview.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think there's also a point where the rubber meets the road. And that is, if your advisor is retiring and you learn about it a month in advance, and unless it's a health-related issue or something like that, you're not a very important client to them. And that the advisors that I have worked with, you know, when she knew she was retiring, I knew it a year in advance. She made it a point to take me out to lunch and meet some of the other senior advisors in their firm. They want to make sure that these clients that have made it help them retire because they've done well and the broker's done well. They wanted to make sure that they're looked after. They are concerned about their clients. And if it's a surprise to you and it's not a health-related issue, they're telling you you're not a very important client of theirs anyway. And that they will try a good one to set you up so that you are in the hands of somebody that they feel comfortable with. I use it as an opportunity to go to the next level where I didn't need to pay a full-service brokerage firm to make trades that I can make online for 5% of what the full-service brokerage firm was charging. And I think embrace it. It's an opportunity, but make sure you do your homework and do those kind of things, David, that you're talking about. I know that you've written some stuff about the kind of interview questions.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I go to the point of saying, how are you compensated?
Well, you know, I'm glad you brought that up, Dennis, because that is one that I've actually had people be surprised when I sit down with them and they've come in and we've met and we've done some planning for them and I've shown them what I think makes sense for their situation. I say, now let me talk to you about compensation. Let me tell you how we're compensated. And I have a slide just for that. And people are really surprised, not that how much we're getting paid because our fees are very competitive, but they're surprised that we're so forthright about it because it seems like for some reason, and I'm a little, I don't know, frustrated, disappointed, whatever the right word is, with the financial industry as a whole, because they don't seem to want to talk about it because they're embarrassed or maybe they don't feel like they've earned their keep or that, you know, the number's so big. And I tell everybody, I'm like, look, this is exactly how we're compensated. Here's what we're paid by you if we're working for you for a fee or if we're using a product that pays us, an investment or insurance company, here's exactly what we're going to be paid. Disclose it in writing. They sign it. And it's not a mystery. And we don't put up with that kind of ignorance in other parts of our lives, like getting our car serviced or getting an estimate for a paint job on our house. We don't just say, fix it and charge me whatever. We ask those questions, so we should do the same with our finances as well.
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, one of the other things I'm sharing with my peer group is the fact that they may have old line brokers, like the one that I described, that they've been with for 20 or 30 years, and that broker is retiring. I had a friend who had sold a piece of property, and he had $3 million. And he went with one of these financial management firms.
Right, right.
And it was a big name firm. And a year later, he couldn't get his money back fast enough.
Hmm.
And I said, well, did they do a bad job of investing? He said, no. He said, the guy who handles my account handles billions of dollars. I'd call him. It'd take 3 to 4 days for him to return my phone call.
Hmm.
I was a small account to him. And I think that's what's happened in a lot of brokerage firms, because as luck would have it, I talk about the group in Illinois when we had our summer home, the Romeo Club, retired old men eating out. One of our members is extremely wealthy, and he deals with that same firm. And I told him the story, and he said, I get the first team.
Yeah.
He said, I got the cell phone number. Yeah. I've got the home phone number. And that the big brokerage firms nowadays are going after the people that are very, very, very wealthy.
Mm.
And that for the average person, you know, to a lot of people, $3 million certainly is a lot of money, but not to them. And you need to understand that part of that is to be matching up with somebody that's going to treat you like an important client and look after your needs.
Excellent. Well put, Dennis. Dennis Miller, ladies and gentlemen, author, speaker, consultant. The book is Retirement Reboot. The website, millersmoney.com/freebook. Quick break. We'll be right back.
Since 1997, David Holland has built a solid reputation in our local community as an independent financial advisor. Just as important, Holland Financial's professional team has grown to include 3 experienced certified financial planners, a tax accountant, an attorney, 3 chartered financial consultants, accredited asset management specialist, and certified annuity specialist. Our attentive and professional staff gives prompt and accurate service to our 300-plus clients. If you're looking for financial advice you can count on today and for many years to come, call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us online at planstronger.com. Do you have financial questions you'd like answered on this show? Send them to questions@planstronger.com. You will remain anonymous.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Dennis Miller with me. The book, Retirement Reboot. Dennis tells a story of his own personal rebooting of his retirement. It's a great read. The website, millersmoney.com/freebook. And of course, there's also the free weekly newsletter. And I want to go back, Dennis, if we could. Before the break, you talked about how you'd, in your own personal circle of friends, you saw a contrast between the person with $3 million kind of being at the back of the line, so to speak, with the same investment firm that was helping somebody else. And that one got the first call, one got the later or last call. Speak to this a little bit. And that is that, you know, whether the key thing is, one, and I actually put this in my book, How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Scams, the different questions to ask an advisor before you hire them. One of the questions I tell people to ask is, where are you? Where will I fit in your clientele? For example, if you say, look, I've got $300,000 or $400,000, whatever it is, dollars that is my retirement nest egg, it's all I got. Where do I fit on the scale with your clients? Am I typical? Would I be your largest client? Would I be your smallest client? I think that's what you're talking about with the match, right?
Yeah, exactly. As a matter of fact, one of the chapters in my book was, I actually put some money offshore for a very good reason. And I have a money manager in Switzerland, perfectly legal, reported on all the forms. And that was exactly the process I went through, because I told him that story. And I asked him a couple of questions. I said, how much money do you look after? And how many clients do you have? And then I divided it in there and came up with the average client. And then I just said, look, I want to make sure that I'm a fit for you,
right?
So that I get the first team. And he laughed and he said, no, you're fine. And that, you know, whether you got $100,000, $200,000, $500,000, there are specialists that are truly fiduciary and concerned about their clients that fit all different levels for the nest egg. And the key is you've got to be proactive in asking the question to find the one that's the right match that can really give advice to people who are in a similar situation that you are.
That's very good, Dennis. And I think the thing that sometimes trips people up, because I can see the hesitation in people's faces or in their voices, even though I tell them very clearly, you can ask me any question you want. I want you to understand what we do, how we do it. And by the way, here's how we get paid and all these other things. People are still have a little bit of trepidation over asking some of these questions. So if somebody's in that place, I want them to write out their questions or type them up. And when they sit down with somebody and they're doing this interview of somebody, if they've, again, their advisor's changed jobs, their advisor is retiring, or if, you know, sadly, their advisor has met a early into their career from death or disability, and you're interviewing the next person to take over, you know, if you're not comfortable asking the questions, like you feel a little bit nervous, type it up. Bring a list and say, here are some of the things I need to know.
David, you would be absolutely amazed the number of emails I get from subscribers to our Miller's Money Weekly that write horror stories about having to fire advisor one, advisor two, advisor three, and how much money it cost them to find out it wasn't a match, and that it's your money, it's your retirement. You don't get a redo. You're not going to be able to earn it back. You can't afford to make a mistake with that kind of money. And that you should treat it as though that money has got to last you the rest of your life. And therefore, take your time, ask those tough questions. Because I can tell you the horror stories that I get in emails from subscribers where all of a sudden the guy is churning all their stocks and all those. You've heard the horror stories.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they wish that they had taken the time to research it from the get-go so that they didn't have those expensive lessons. It's one of those things where that's money that's got to last you for the rest of your life. You're not going to be able to go back and earn it over. You just can't afford to make a mistake.
And it doesn't matter, ladies and gentlemen, how much money you have. You know, you hear somebody that's a friend or a family member or somebody that knows somebody that's, hey, they've got $10 million. They don't have anything to worry about. Or this person's got $1 million or this person's got $100,000. I want you to know that the dollar amount you have has very little to do with what we're talking about here, because I've had people come to my office and they have a lot of money, and they are a nervous wreck, and they make the same mistakes that the person with $50,000 or $100,000 makes. In fact, some of them even greater mistakes because they think they're in a different place. All right, we're out of time. Dennis, thank you very much for being with us. Dennis Miller, ladies and gentlemen, author, speaker, consultant, author of the book, Retirement Reboot, and the website, millersmoney.com. And don't forget the /free book, and you can sign up for a free copy of the book and also the free weekly newsletter, Miller's Money Weekly. Dennis, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me, David.
My pleasure.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.